Salvava Shir for Women, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitachon, Yud Beis Mar Cheshvin, Tovshin Ayin Hay, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitachon. Okay, it's a minute early, so I'll just bring us up to date. We're learning Chavis Salvava Shara Bitachon in Perek Hay. In the fifth parak, the Chavis Halavos went through the differences between a Baal Bitachon and a not Baal Bitachon, how they live differently, act differently, even though their chitzonius stick alive may be on the way. Talking about someone who works for a living, and no one's doing anything crazy, and everyone's doing gestadlus, but their whole attitude towards life, and he went through seven differences, how you can tell who's a Baal Bitachon and who's not. The last one was that the not Baal Bitachon falls prey to what he calls Baalei Mashkonos, becomes someone with the attitude, you know, when after I have provided for me, when I, so he puts it down in very stark terms, in terms of money, after Hashem puts into my, makes a deposit in my bank account, enough for me to live on for the rest of my life, and enough for me to retire, and enough for me to marry off my children, and to support my children and to put them through college and so on and so forth, after I have enough money, then I will turn my attention to what? To what? He's not talking about a Machal Shabbos. He's not talking about someone that says, I'll keep Shabbos if I have enough money in the bank. That would be absurd, and he's not talking about that. He's talking about, so really, I mean, people could learn Chavis Halavos and not even realize this. He's talking about a subtlety. I'm not talking about something blatant. I'm not going to eat kosher, but I'm going to eat kosher if I have enough money at the bank. That's ridiculous. You're not talking about such a person. That makes no sense. You know how to do it, you know how to do it. He's talking about someone's lifestyle. One of the primary themes of Chovos HaLavos, of the Sefer Chovos HaLavos, and of Chovos HaLavos, is that a person has to be an Oved Hashem. And that's not talking about any particular minute or any particular obligation. It's talking about an attitude and what my career is, what I'm doing with my life. And unfortunately, people fall short because you have to be doing my life. You know, most people, if they're not, they don't come to this wonderful class, they would say, well, you know, I want to be from, I'm certainly going to keep all the mitzvahs, and I want to make ends meet and raise my children and marry them off, and I have nachas for them, I guess. You know, maybe some people say I want to be professionally successful. Maybe some people will say I want to finish shas, I want to do chesed. It's missing a point. It's missing a major point. It's my whole life. My whole life is to be an Oved Hashem. We want to be an Eved Hashem. Moshe was an Eved Hashem. We want to be an Eved Hashem. We want to live so that everything we do is the Ratzon Hashem. Everything we do is a Ratzon Hashem, is a Kiddush Hashem. We're living for Hashem, not the other way around. And this is a mental attitude. And it's hard because people are not like that. And the world is not like that, certainly not. And even the old Avodah Zarah were not like that. The old Avodah Zarah looked at their Avodah Zarah as ways to get what they wanted. And if that carries over to Hashem, even if you're not doing Avodah Zarah, but Hashem is just a way for me to have a nice family and have machas and have parnasa and live a good life and be happy, then you've made Hashem into an Avodah Zarah. It's a different paradigm. It's a different outlook. It's a different. I'm living for Hashem, not vice versa. I was put in this world to be aware of Hashem, as the Ramban, to contribute towards Gilui Yichudo Yisbarach, in the words of the Ramchal, to be Makadish Shem Shamayim. My life is supposed to be an Oved Hashem. That's what it's about. Now, Hashem is very nice to us. He doesn't want us to go check into a monastery and meditate the whole day. He wants us to live normal lives, make 100 brachas every day, daven to him, acknowledge him, be makir tov to him. That's why Shaar HaBechina is second. That's like primary. I would say it's, you know, I'm always afraid to say something like that comes before Shmir Shabbos, because I'm always afraid that will be misunderstood. If by now you're still going to misunderstand it, then I can't help you anymore. It's more primary than Shmir Shabbos. To be aware of Hashem, to recognize Hashem, to be thankful to Hashem, to feel gratitude to Hashem. That's why David HaMelech saw people were not doing that, and he was masaking 100 brachas a day. That means when I get up in the morning and I say Amatil Shadoyim and Asher Yotzar, to when I go to sleep at night and say Hamatil, I'm like locked into thanking Hashem 100 times a day. Besides davening, I'm locked into, well, not really besides davening, because you count Shemona Esrei and the brachas, and Birchos, Brachos Zimra, and Birchos Kriyashma, etc. I'm locked. So that's my career as an Eved Hashem, is that I'm living for Hashem, not vice versa. And the primary Avodas Hashem, according to the Chovos HaLevavos, which is my sefer of choice, according to the Chovos HaLevavos, the primary Avodas Hashem is awareness of Him and gratitude towards Him. That's the primary. Now, I show gratitude by doing His will, and His will is that should be Yishon Shabbos, and there's a reason for that also, because then I'm reminded of Hashem. And that's what the Ramban says, that all the mitzvahs are emunah. All the mitzvahs are to inculcate emunah in us. Anyway, so when he's talking about the Balei Mashkonos, he's not talking about someone that says, put enough money in my bank and I'll keep Shabbos, put enough money in my bank and I'll eat kosher. That's too gross. He's not talking about such grubber people. He wouldn't waste ink on that. He's talking about people who's, and now I'll say something, and you'll go, oh my goodness, am I a Balei Mashkonos? That their primary pursuit in life is their success in life, and after they find success in life, then their answer is, then I'll devote myself to Avodas Hashem. So, in a man, let's say, I have an easy barometer. And it's not always so easy, because some people can't spend the time learning. They have to work many, many hours to make ends meet, which is their first responsibility. You have to kviya sitam with Torah, but you have to make ends meet. And if it means taking two jobs to make ends meet, you take two jobs to make ends meet. You just do it, that's all. The wife sits back at home, she has a ksuba, husband has to support her. You guys, you gals have it easy. That's what he's talking about. And now all of a sudden you say, oh my goodness, I guess most people are Balei Mashkonos. That their primary focus is their own lives, their own success, right? That's what they're living for. Living, this is going to be a shock now. I'm living to raise a family. I'm living to live and to, you know, to be happy and to have machaus, to have a successful marriage, to have a successful family, and to, no, that's not, but, and so by a man I have an easy, the barometer would be how much does he learn. By a woman maybe the barometer is chesed, or maybe it's tznius, or maybe there's other barometers. You don't have Talmud Torah as a barometer. As a barometer of like what is the focus of your lives. But everything you do, this is the point, everything you do is I'm doing the will of Hashem. That's, according to the Chavis HaLvavos, that's like, that's Shai Yichud HaMaisa. I mean, that's it. That's everything we do, whether it's washing dishes, baking a cake, or even a man learning. If he's not learning because it's the will of Hashem, it's not worth very much. And that's why it's possible to have Torah being a Samogas, which we more described that the Torah could become a samogas poison, because if he disconnects the learning from the will of Hashem, it just sharpens his mind and it could give him ideas that are not so kosher. So when the Chazon HaGadol talks about Bala Mishkonos, he's not talking about some bunch of kooks who are not going to keep Shabbos unless there's money in the bank. He's talking to us, to everyone. And he's saying this attitude, and people do say this. I completely don't misunderstand, you know. I'll talk about a man, so I'm not accusing you of anything. A man says, I'm going to go find myself a slower minion and daven like a mensch, because now I have to run off to work. And I'm not talking about that he really has to. Now I'm focused on my boss liking me, my doing a good job. That's what I'm focused on. When I retire, I'm going to find myself a different minion, and I'm going to daven like a person should daven. That's what the Chazon HaGadol is talking about. That's the Balei Mashkonos that he condemns in the strongest possible terms. Your obligation to be Obed Hashem is now. You don't go to Hashem and say, after I have what I need in my life, then I'll be ready to turn my focus. Right? He's not talking about Shmira Shabbos. He's talking about Avodas Hashem. This is... out of 100 people that learn Chavis HaVodas, 99 don't realize it. They don't realize it. He's not talking about someone that says, I'm not going to be frugal unless Hashem gives me my money. He's talking about the focus of your life. And that's what I'm guilty of. There's many people, most people, I would venture to say, have an attitude that, you know, I'm number one, and I'll have time to daven slow, I'll have time to learn, I'll give stalker after I am taken care of. That's what he condemns in these, that's what he devotes the entire Perek Vav to condemning. And he tries to show how illogical it is, how chutzpahdik it is, how silly it is, how, that's right. Number one is, Hashem is the boss. Did you ever hear of anyone applying for a job and during the job interview telling the person he wants to hire him, by the way, I need a security deposit for my salary? We're like, Craig Meshuga, right? I'm in charge, I'm giving you a job. You're not in a position to tell me that you demand a security deposit. But we're all schirim of Hashem. Hashem is hiring us. Hashem gives us life to do a job. It's absurd to ask. It's like a potential employee demanding a security deposit for a salary. Ridiculous. Okay, that was number one. We learned it already. Number two is, I'm not giving Hashem a number, because I want to be taking care of all my needs. I don't know what could come up. My car could break tomorrow. My kid could need braces. I have to send my kid, and I could have a special needs. I have to hire a tutor. Right? Therapy is very expensive. And I don't know, I have to marry off my kid, and then I have to buy an apartment for my daughter. And then I'll likely have to buy a hair for the apartment for my son. There's no less. So you can't even give Hashem a number. That's number two. What do you want? You want everything to be taken care of. You can't put a number on it. That was number two. Number three is, someone comes to you and says, I want to borrow money. You say, okay, I want a deposit. I want security. I want a mashko. But let's say you owe him money. You don't ask for a mashko, because you owe him money. So when he comes to borrow money from you, because he needs, it's not the time of the pirone yet, right? And he needs liquid cash. He needs money. So you don't answer the deposit. If you owe him money, that doesn't make any sense. That's his best deposit of all. He says, we already owe Hashem. We're already behind the eight ball. Hashem, again, this is the whole theme of the Chavis HaGavus. Hashem gives us life. Hashem gives us everything that he gives us. So we owe him something. It's a deposit. I have to run around being Oyved Hashem to pay up my debt to Hashem. I'm in the debit column. We're in the debit column from day one, because we're 9 months behind. And those 9 months were miraculous in a way that maybe life is not even that miraculous. So we're really 9 months magnified because of the miracles that happened during those 9 months. And the conception is a miracle. Everything. So that's number three. So we're up to number four. He gives seven reasons why. But I wanted to. I gave this long hakdama. Maybe for me it's not long. I want you to understand, he's not talking about crazy people. He's talking about me and you and most people. The focus of their lives is this, and then they say, I will have time to learn Shas. I will have time. Now, again, we're talking about my obligation to be Oved Hashem. My focus to be Oved Hashem. How much time a day do I learn? How much time a day do I devote to Chesed? Obviously, as you go along in life, you have more and more time. Of course, you have other obligations that crowd out your time. The Chazal Bavos has no problem with someone having a good job, saving money to marry off his children, putting it in the bank, giving stock up, but saving money, and he had no problem with that. Our Avos were very wealthy people. Nothing wrong with being wealthy, nothing wrong with saving money. He's talking about, I will start my career in Avodas Hashem when I finish taking care of number one. And what am I talking about? Because he's not talking about Shmir Shabbos, he's not talking about eating kosher, he's not talking about putting on tefillin, he's not talking about taking challah, he's not talking about having a mezuzah on your door. He's talking about what the focus of my life is. And when the focus of your life is Hashem, then that's transformative, then everything's different. And that's the primary cholgos halavavos, that's the primary chiyuv, because it's hakaras hakol. It's my primary chiyuv, and I'm always thinking about Hashem, I'm always thankful to Hashem, I'm always feel grateful to Hashem. And that's what I'm doing. And now I'm not going to wait till I take care of myself, and then I'll turn my attention to Hashem. I went over the first three, the mistakes of what he called the Balei Mashkonos, and now we're up to the fourth one. For Haravi, so the first silliness was Hashem is in charge, Hashem is the boss, he's hiring you. He isn't for deposit, for what? He's running the show. And if you want an image, it's the image of someone at a job interview asking for a security deposit for a salary. Number two was, it's a blank check, you're not even giving a number. Number three is you owe Hashem money. A person that owes money doesn't ask for a security deposit even when he lends it. Number four is, the whole thing is absurd. Why would someone take a security deposit? Why? Because he doesn't think he's going to get paid back. I mean, we're not talking about someone that's like from doing something for no rationale. He's afraid he won't get paid back. For one of three reasons. Maybe the person won't have the money to pay him back. And he's not willing to give him a present. He's not willing to give him stock up. He's lending him money. So I want security. So in case you can't pay it back, I have where to collect the money from. That's one reason. But Shane is, maybe you don't want to pay me back, which unfortunately happens. People think it's this like tremendous mitzvah of Nimishir Sadin, Lidus Hasidus, to pay up money that they owe. It's a joke, but it's not a joke. You'd be amazed at people's attitude. But Hashem is Shem Yikbot Yodo Al Mashiach Lo Eslo. He has the money to pay back. He just doesn't want to. Shem Yikbot Yodo Al Mashiach Lo Eslo. Will you call the poor me manu? So, like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to start running to Bezdin. How am I going to squeeze money out of it? So I have a security. I'm safe. But Hashlish is number three. They should Yori Shem Yomus. Could die, then I have to stop with the Yorushim, the whole Asik. Oshaloyim Tsehu, he disappeared. I don't know where the guy went. Can't track him down. Vahamashko, so taking security, is Rufuos Hamad Vimoela, is the solution to these problems. Maybe he won't be able to pay me back. Maybe he won't want to pay me back. Maybe I won't be able to find him to pay me back. So I take a mashkin, that's the solution. What does that have to do with Hashem? But you know, Hashem's going to take care of you. You don't have any of the three fears. So if you believe Hashem is going to take care of you, so have no pshat to ask for a deposit. What are you afraid of? You're afraid Hashem's not going out of business, right? None of the three reasons apply to Hashem. There's no reason to ask for a deposit. Hashem is taking care of you. Every day of your life, He's going to take care of you. So you don't trust Him? You think He's not going to want to do it tomorrow? He's going to get angry at you? Believe me, if He gets angry at you, He can take back His deposit whenever He wants to, right? You know, so what's the point? The whole thing makes no sense. That's long before of Chayes Halavos. The Ilu Ayu Betuchim Bnei Adam, if people would trust one another, can't we all just trust one another? The answer is no. But the Ilu Ayu Betuchim Bnei Adam Ketzasa Bektzasa, if people would trust one another, the Ilu Asholosh Mitos, for in each of these three eventualities, he's not. For some reason I know he's not getting poor, for some reason I know he's going to want to pay me back, and for some reason I know he's not going to disappear. It would be like inappropriate to ask for a mashke. What am I taking away the guy's money for? Just to throw my weight around? Like, it's only because I'm afraid I won't get paid back. Nu vaborius borach, asher lo yeyosu lo elu habidos, these eventualities have nothing to do with Hashem, obviously. Yosef who gnai godel, it's certainly inappropriate to want a mashkin. And again, we're talking about this conceptual mashkin. First, let me take care of my life and my needs. That's what he calls a mashkon. That has to come first. And then, when I'm ready to retire, put my feet up, and I can focus on Hashem. So that's number four. You have no reason to ask for security. Security means you want to be secure. Hashem, you're secure. There's no way that you are secure. You have to develop security. You have to develop bitachon. But if you don't have it, you're not going to get it by you. By having something in the bank. Vachamishi, number five. What good will it do to take security? That's number five. Normally, you take security, okay, I can collect my chol from it. Worst comes to worst, I can sell it off, and I can take the money. So I'm assured, I have my bitachon, I have my security. Hashem, like, but if Hashem doesn't want you to have it, you won't have it. Even if He gives it to you today and you feel secure today and everything is going hummingly well today, it has nothing to do with tomorrow. And Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem could stop it all tomorrow. You could lose your money. Chas v'shalom, you could lose your job. Chas v'shalom, you could lose your health. Chas v'shalom. There's no such thing as a security from Hashem. Hashem being kol yachol, being Hashem. So you're not protecting yourself against them. So the whole thing makes no sense. Even number four was, it made no sense because you're not afraid Hashem won't do it. Number five is, what good is it to take a security? Hashem can plug it right back, so to speak, whenever He wants to. So what's no point in taking the security? The chamishi ki hamashkin chaver tenuach nafshu b'mashkin. You feel secure with the mashkin. He'll collect, he'll pocket whatever object it is, perhaps. So he'll sell it and he'll have the money. Does someone think, they spoke, Hashem writes me out a $1 million check and puts it in my bank, then I'm going to be calm? You ain't seen a nervous person until you meet a person that has $1 million in the bank. Doesn't know what to do with it. Doesn't know how to invest it. Everybody's banging on his door to give them a job, to suggest investments, and so on and so forth. His friends won't talk to him anymore because they claim he's a big shot. And then he gets divorced. And then, you know, all these things happen to the lottery winners. Well, we know that. Then he becomes an outcast. Hashem can take it back in the blink of an eye. So when taking security against Hashem, as if Hashem can't just Aber mich ja schon, ich kann schon jagen, aber boy, they see Puko, Tanuach Nafs, and then I'll feel calm and serene. It's out of Olam, to also Sheker. It's false, it's obviously false, clearly false. They shayna, but Tuach, he's sure I'm on that slow. He doesn't know that he's going to keep this money Hashem gave him. She'efshe she'ekreu pegam and apagoyim, ha'mavdilim be'no le'veno. Maybe something will happen which will separate him from his money. So he says, look, I have to feel secure. I can't devote myself to avodas Hashem if I'm nervous and I'm stressed and I have to feel secure. You're not going to be secure if you think about it. You're not going to be secure no matter what happens. You have enough money in the bank. You're not so secure. You can lose the money. Things can come up. You have to spend it on other things. It can be stolen from you. You're not going to be secure, and it's not true. He says, "Mamun Chosam, Mar Badaiga." Those are the last four words of Chayes Halavos for this reason. He says, "You're just adding to your headaches. You're not removing a headache." Umashetaru Menuchas Nafsho, Da'agiyam El Chefso Mehon HaOlam. That then they'll be calm. Because of it's not true. Mesichle is foolishness. Mehandle Bakar Chosam. He Efreshit Adarabba. This is going to drive them nuts. This is going to drive them nuts. They'll have investments, portfolios. Wake up in the morning before davening, they want to see what the stock market closed at in Japan, because it's already after the stock market closed in Japan. Right? And then he has all the clocks on his walls, so you can see right away what time it is. So like the whole thing is very, very phony and empty. And it's just he doesn't trust Hashem. That's all it boils down to. He's not going to feel any more secure just because he has money. Vashishi. So number one was Hashem is the boss. And it's totally inappropriate to ask for a security on your salary. Number two was you're not telling an amount because the sky's the limit. There's no amount that's going to make you happy. Number three is you owe Hashem money. Excuse me. Like what are you asking for the father for? You owe him money already? Number four. I should know. Well, actually, you don't know what you know. Number four was that. What do you not? Why in the world? It's inappropriate. You have to have a reason to ask for security. And then he says, for a person, there's three reasons, three possible reasons. By Hashem, none of them fit. Number five is you're not going to feel secure. This is not going to calm you down. It's going to drive you nuts. Number six, Vahashishi. He says if you have bitachon, you will earn much more than you could possibly dream of just by getting this mashko. Because Hashem says, look, you want the money now. Okay, but if you, because remember, we're going back to the end of Terek Hay, where this is a ramification of someone who doesn't have bitachon. So number six is if you resist the urge to have this mashkon attitude, because you developed your bitachon, the reward for being a baal bitachon, a baal al bitachon, is immeasurably more than the money you think Hashem is going to give you and put in your bank. And he gives a marshal, he says, let's say, yeah, you lend someone money, and you're about to ask for security, and the guy says, you know what? I want you to trust me. I don't want you to take security from me. And I'm going to pay you back the loan 3 months before it's due. And because you trusted me, I feel good. Or, putting aside the Issa Ribbis, say, I'm going to buy you a nice gift because you lent me the money. Because you showed you trusted me. You didn't even ask me for a mashkin. So that's Hashem. Hashem is going to give us schar for having the bitachon, for not being nervous, for trusting him, for having faith in him, and to feeling the bitachon of I'm relying on Hashem to take care of me. He's always taking care of me. So that's going to be much more valuable than whatever money would accrue to me. He's going to pay him up early. And because he waited, because he didn't ask for security, he'll pay him back double, which of course is also because of ribbis, but he's making a point here. He wouldn't ask for security. He said, of course, thank you, you didn't even ask me. The guy's about to ask for security. He goes, you didn't ask for security, thank you. I'm going to pay you back early, don't worry, I'm going to pay you back double. Mamish, thank you. Meanwhile, it feels kind of stupid. It's just, I wasn't about to ask you. Hashem takes care of us. That's Bitachon 101. Bitachon Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet. Hashem takes care of us. Hashem Yodanam and Hagla Tovi Manu. That he will always take care of us. He'll take care of us. Al Tashachenu Liezikma. You don't have to obsess and worry at the expense of our careers, of Ode Hashem, for what's going to be in the future. Chadoshim Gam Yeshonim Shu Gomel Al Maisa Hapstok of Avod Rabeshen Ola Bedas. And if we have Bitachon in Him and trust Him, the reward for that Cholos Halvavos is immeasurable. Koshkein She Yisupar Kmoshe Kozum Ayin Leiros Ola Kibzul Osecha Yasam Amachakelo. Someone who waits to get his reward doesn't see it so easily. Yosu Gnai Godo Shina Mashkinos. But Hashem is promising us to give us schar for our waiting. So you're going to go ask for a mashkin and ruin that beautiful moment? Vashvi, that's number six. Number six is, I gain more from not asking for a mashkon than I would from asking for a mashkon to secure it. Number seven, when I take a mashkin from someone, I only do it when I could give it back to him, right? And I could pay him back if it's lost, or if I give it back to him. And you know, and he's holding by paying me up the loan. That would be good. It's like win-win. But if I want a mashkin from Hashem, and I'm demanding, Hashem does things for everyone. It unfolds in time. If I want Hashem to speed up the process, and I'm demanding, I want in the next 10 years I should have, right, and be ready to retire. I want Hashem's tovos now. I mean, in laws are yecholas lemalei as yechola lemalei. Avol hamalachin emorius baruch haktovos hatovos say love. In lo yecholas l'shalim ha'avoda aleinu. This is like an extension, really, of number three. I can't possibly repay Hashem if He gives me now everything that I need. Life unfolds. As I go through life, I get things from Hashem, appropriate for that stage in life, and I serve Hashem. I'm grateful to Him, and I serve Him commensurate with, right, this period of life. But if I want to just... I want to cash in my 401k... by Hashem, I want to cash in my retirement funds. Yeah, but now what are you going to do? You're getting like the tovos that Hashem has planned out over the next 20, 30 years. You want it in one fell swoop. But what are you going to do in exchange for that? What is your avodas Hashem? You have your avodas Hashem that you have to do at every stage of your life anyway, just by living and by existing. So if you want like a that they want to cash out your retirement fund, so what do you have to offer Hashem? You're already supposed to be working at optimum Avodas Hashem now. You can't increase that. You certainly can't increase it enough to make up for, you know, you squeeze out another 5 minutes of learning, of davening. but you can't increase it commensurate with what he's giving you. This is another point that he makes throughout the Sefer. Even when we repay Hashem, which is really not us, it's Hashem. It's Hashem's Ezer. Hashem is allowing me to do it. Hashem is making my limbs move. Anything I do is already... I can't really perform anything purely mine that I'm offering to Hashem as Hakaras HaTov, because everything is overwhelmingly His, as we saw earlier. The only thing I have is in my head. I have my free will. That's the only thing that's mine. Everything else is really His. So I really can never... So that if He gives me everything at once, that's it. I'm like painting myself out of the picture. Like that, I can't catch up to that. I can't even catch up to today in the Pierce, which was number 3. With Kosh came out and I want to be a Mali Mashkon, so certainly number 7 I'll never be able to repay. I'm putting myself in an impossible situation. Even the good that I do is only with Ezer Hashem. Don't give praise for his actions. He leads people to know him, because you still have Bechira. Everybody can always choose. Okay, so that's the Perek Vav was a segue. Because of the way he ended Perek Hey, he said this is very important, and I'm going to elaborate on this, and I'm going to show you 7 conceptual mistakes, errors, absurdities of these Bali Mishkonos. I try to say it over today in such a way that we realize its relevance to us. It's relevant to Avodas Hashem. It's relevant to an attitude, the way we relate to Hashem. You're not talking about specific mitzvahs and specific aveiros. Perek Zayin, and Mrs. Noel has to start thinking what's next, because this is the last perek of Shara Bitachon. So Perek Zayin, he goes pretty much throughout the Sefer. This is, and the Mesil Sasham does this also. What should I watch out for? What will ruin my bitachon? What are mafsidei ha-bitachon? He talked about bitachon. He talked about the benefits of the psicha. In the first 4 prakim, he talked about how to develop. In the first 3 prakim, he talked about how to develop it, like a step-by-step program, constructed very pedagogically. The 4th parak is... like a teacher makes plays, you act out. Okay, this is what we learned today, now let's make a play and we'll do something and now we'll see how you rein in your anger. Right? Yeah, play acting, it has a name. So that's what he does in the 4th parak. He tells you different scenarios and tells you how a Baal Bitachon should be thinking. Parak 5 is the difference between yes, Baal Bitachon, not Baal Bitachon, how their lives are different, and then he segues into Parak 6, which talks about the Bali Mishkonos. And then Parak Zion is what are Mafsidei HaBitachon? Mafsidei HaBitachon really is life. It's very hard. I mean, he already told us, because we see a world of cause and effect, and we don't see Hashem as the cause. We see someone punch me in the nose, my nose bleeds. We see someone stole my wallet, I'm missing money because someone stole it. I don't see Hashem in that picture. Even if I fall down and I hurt, I don't see Hashem. And that's, Mafsid HaBitachon is to be aware of Hashem's presence and Hashem was running the show. Newspapers are big Mafsidei Bitachon because they talk about all the events that happened without mentioning Shem Hashem, except if they think they'll make money off of it. Right? They explain why everything's happening, and it looks so nice that you forget that they made it up after it happened. Which is like the guy with the kid with the arrow who built the Maggid, right? That's easy. So what? But let's look at the Chazal about this. What's Mafsid the Abitachon? The Chivish Shlamu B'Shara Zem Asher Yirolo B'Nedvarm Kviyas Gosenu. That's it. I'm finished with Abitachon. I gave you over everything I know that's important about Abitachon. Now comes. So what I need one more parrot for? Roy Lono Atla Levorm Mafsid the Abitachon Belukim. What ruins it? The Omar. So his first statement is Ki Mafsid Shloshos Hashorim Hakodim B'Sefer Hazeh. Kula mafsida b'bitocho. Whatever you can imagine ruins your yichud Hashem, your avoda in yichud Hashem, shara yichud, your avoda in shara b'china, your avoda in shara avoda salokim will ruin bitochon too. Now that has two meanings, two possible meanings. The Chavodos is constructed like a building. There's a base, and then a first floor, and a second floor, and a third floor. So here he could simply mean that if you don't have Yichud Hashem properly, and you don't have Bechina properly, and you don't have Avodas Elokim properly, you're not going to be able to develop Bitachon. So it's going to fall by the wayside. That's one interpretation when he says, whatever ruins the first three will ruin Bitachon, because you don't have the base. If you don't have the base, you don't have what has to be built on the base. Or he could mean in a more mechanical way. Let's say we say what ruins my Shar HaBechina Avoda is my feeling of being entitled. That's going to ruin my Bitachon also. My feeling of being entitled, and I expect Hashem to provide to me, and I don't rely on Hashem the right way, and I don't rely on Hashem with, like, Kavo Kivisi Lashem, Kaveh Lashem, I'm not Miyachel Lashem. I feel like I deserve it, and I'm entitled to it, so that's, you're not going to be able to develop Bitachon. Or if I can't wrap my head around Ein Ol Milvado, Shar HaYichud, I'm not going to be able to have Bitachon. If I can't have proper, if I don't feel gratitude towards Hashem, Shar Avodas Elokim, I'm not going to be able to develop Bitachon. So he could mean, if you don't have the foundation, you're not going to be able to build the building. That was the first shot I said. Or he could mean that if you think about it, anything ruining the first three, and I just gave an example for each one, will ruin Bitachon also. You have to realize that the beauty of the building that he built when he made the Sefer. Okay, we'll stop here, and next week, Hashem, we'll continue with specific mafsidim of Bitachon.